Title: Cutting Distractions During Detail Edits Intermediate. Alright, welcome in. This lesson is about one thing: getting through detail edits in Ableton Live without getting yanked into loudness wars, plugin surfing, endless looping, or I'll just fix the mix real quick. Because in drum and bass, the detail pass is where your track goes from decent loop to professional record. Micro timing, transient shape, bass note endings, small automation moves, clean transitions. That's the stuff. But it's also the phase where you can burn 2 hours and somehow make the tune worse. So today you're going to set up a repeatable detail edit mode. It's not willpower. It's a system. Small loops, single mission passes, stock devices, and controlled reality checks. By the end, you'll be faster, more decisive, and you'll finish passes without those dead-end tweaks. Let's build it. First, step 0. Prep detail edit mode. 2 minutes. This is you removing visual and sonic clutter so your brain can lock in. Start by hiding what you don't need. Use tab to switch between arrangement and session, but for this workflow, you're living mostly in arrangement view. Then shift tab to show or hide the device view. If you notice you keep staring at meters and getting distracted, go up to view and toggle the mixer section off. Yes, really, you're editing details, not mixing a live show. Then go full screen. On Mac, that's Ctrl-Command-F. On Windows, it's often F11 depending on your setup. The point is, one world, one task. And please do the real world part. Phone away, notifications off. If you want pro results, give yourself a pro environment for 20 minutes. Quick preferences tip while we're here. In preferences under record, warp, launch, disable start recording on scene launch. That prevents accidental takes if you end up clicking around. And in look and feel, keep your theme consistent. Dark themes tend to reduce visual fatigue in long sessions. Now we set the core rule of detail editing. Lock the loop like a surgeon. Pick a section with typical DNB density, usually the drop, 8 bars, something like bar 9 through 17. Highlight 4 to 8 bars and hit Command-L or Control-L to loop the selection. And then we go smaller when needed. 1 bar loops for snare ghosts and hat placement. 2 bars for kick and bass relationship. 1 to 2 bars around fills and transitions. Here's the rule I want you to actually follow. If you can't hear the improvement in 10 loop plays, it's not a detail edit. It's a rabbit hole. Bookmark it and move on. Now step 2. Create edit passes. This is where most people level up instantly, because it stops context switching. You're going to do multiple quick passes, and each pass has one mission. You are not allowed to mix while you do timing. You are not allowed to redesign your bass patch while you do note lengths. Single mission. The recommended pass order for DNB is: first pass, timing and groove. Second, transient shaping. Third, bass note lengths and any pitch moves. Fourth, automation polish. Fifth, transitions and ear candy. Sixth, sanity check against a reference. In Ableton, make these locators. Right-click the timeline, add locator, name them clearly. Pass 1 timing, pass 2 transients, and so on. That way, your session becomes a checklist you can follow even when you're tired. And here's a powerful distraction firewall: color rules and scope rules. Make your drums one color, bass another, effects another. Anything uncolored is not in scope today. Also, drop a big visual reminder in the project. Make an empty MIDI clip at the start of your drop and rename it Edit Only. It sounds silly, but it works. It keeps you honest. Okay, step 3. Timing edits. Tighten drums without killing swing. In jungle and DNB, tiny timing moves matter more than fancy processing. If the groove is wrong, no compressor is going to save it. Start with groove without overquantizing. Select your hats, ghost snares, percussion clips. If it's audio, warp is your tool, but use it carefully. If it's MIDI, you have clean control. Open quantize with Command-U or Control-U. Start with 1/16 notes and set the amount around 60-75%. That gives you direction without turning everything into a robot. If you're working with jungle breaks, do not warp every transient. That's how you turn a break into cardboard. Warp the downbeats and the key snare hits first. Let the internal groove breathe. Now micro nudge key hits. If the snare feels like it's rushing, nudge it back 5-12 milliseconds. If the kick is flaming against the bass transient, try nudging the kick earlier by 2-8 milliseconds. Hats too stiff? Add a tiny bit of randomness either with the groove pool, very subtle, or by manually adjusting MIDI note start times. And I want a hard boundary here. During the timing pass, you do not touch EQ or compression. If you catch yourself reaching for it, that's your brain trying to change missions. Don't do it. Timing only. Coach note: if you find yourself constantly nudging notes and nothing feels consistent, it might not be the note placement. It might be the instrument envelope attack. A slow attack can make things feel late even if they're perfectly on grid. If you want a quick method to stop guessing with low-end tining, solo kick and bass. Drop a spectrum on the bass after its effects. Nudge the bass MIDI earlier or later in tiny steps until the low end looks and feels less smeared. You're not doing scientific measurement, you're just using a visual and sonic confirmation that the transient relationship is cleaner. Cool. Step 4. Transient control using stuck devices. Fast and decisive. This is where people get derailed by plugin hunting. We're not doing that. Stock devices, simple chain, surgical moves, on your drum group, or your drum bus track, set up a detail chain. Start with drum bus. Drive around 2 to 8%. Boom between 0 and 20%. And honestly, in DNB you often need less boom than you think if your kick is already tight. Then transients anywhere from plus 5 to plus 25, but watch your hats. If they get clicky, back off. Then add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive 1 to 4 dB. Soft clip on. This is about controlled density, not loudness. Then glue compressor. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. You're gluing, not crushing. Workflow rule. Choose one place to add punch. Either drum bus transient emphasis or compressor attack shaping. Don't fight yourself by boosting punch in 5 devices at once. Now the snare, because in rolling DNB the snare is the face of the drop. On the snare channel, use a Q8. High pass somewhere around 100 to 160 Hz depending on the snare body. If it needs chest, a small bell around 200 Hz. For crack, a small bell in the 3 to 6K range. For transient shaping without external tools, you can use drum bus lightly on the snare channel too. Transients around plus 10-ish. Then add a short room, hybrid reverb or regular reverb, decay 0.3 to 0.7 seconds, pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds, high pass the reverb return around 200 to 400 Hz so it doesn't wash your low mids. And here's a huge anti-distraction tactic, set a timer, 8 minutes max for snare chain tweaks per pass. If you go longer, you're probably compensating for a timing or sample choice issue, not a processing issue. If your drum bus transient setting starts making hats click, don't spiral. 2 quick fixes. Put in a Q8 before drum bus and do a small dip around 7 to 10 kHz, or split your drums into 2 groups. Drums punch for kick and snare, and drums TOP for hats and break fizz. Put the transient emphasis mostly on drums punch. Step 5. Bass detail edits. Note lengths and sub cleanliness. A lot of messy DNB drops aren't actually bad mixing. They're overlapping bass notes, messy releases, and no air around the snare. Start with MIDI note lengths. Make sure notes don't overlap unless you're intentionally using glide. For a rolling bass, it often helps if notes end slightly before the next kick or snare transient. Leave about 10 to 30 milliseconds of air before the snare so the hit lands with authority. Now split the bass into sub and mid. This is a decision-making hack. On the SUB track, EQ8 with a low pass around 80 to 120 Hz. Optional saturator with 1 to 2 dB of drive, soft clip on, but keep it controlled. Then utility, width at 0% so the sub is mono, gain stage clean. On the MID track, EQ8 with a high pass around 80 to 120 Hz. Add grit with amp or saturator. If you want movement, auto filter with a slow LFO can bring life without rewriting the patch. And another hard boundary, do not redesign the bass patch during detail edits. You're polishing timing, envelopes, and automation only. If you catch yourself browsing wavitable positions for 10 minutes, that's a different session. Bookmark it and move on. If your bass still isn't reading on small speakers, here's a stock trick that doesn't require rewriting anything. Duplicate your mid-bass track and call it bass read. High pass it around 250 to 400 Hz, saturate it until it speaks, then back off. Optionally add a gentle band pass auto filter movement if it's too static. Keep it quiet. You should miss it when muted, not hear it as a separate sound. Step 6. Automation polish. Movement, not chaos. Detail automation should follow phrases. A simple DNB structure is an 8-bar drop phrase, bars 1 to 4 stable, bars 5 to 8 increasing tension. Limit yourself to 2 automations max per element during this pass. For example, filter cutoff or wavitable position, but not both plus distortion plus width plus reverb plus delay, or reverb send or delay send. Not everything. Use stock tools, auto filter for controlled sweeps, echo for throws, utility for quick width or mono changes, and if you have max for live, Shaper is great for rhythmic movement without drawing a million points. Big distraction killer here. Automate on return tracks instead of changing 12 devices across channels. If you automate reverb send into a sidechained reverb return, you get drama and clarity without rewriting your mix. Extra control trick for ambience. On your reverb or delay return, add a compressor after the effect and sidechain it from the snare or the drum bus. Ratio 2:1 up to 4:1. Fast dish attack, medium release. Now the space tucks out of the way on hits automatically, which saves you from constant micro adjustments. Step 7. Transitions. Use Ear Candy Lane so you don't clutter the mix. Make a dedicated group called Effects or Ear Candy. Risers, impacts, reverse cymbals, vocal chops, noise sweeps. The purpose is organization. You stop dumping random effects into the drum and bass tracks, and you stop losing your layout. A quick stock chain for that lane. Auto filter for high pass sweeps, echo at 1/8 or 1/4 with low feedback, reverb or hybrid reverb high pass. Then utility for gain and width control. Arrangement ideas that work in DNB without overcomplicating things. A reverse crash into the first snare of the phrase. A quarter note echo throw at the end of bar 8. A micro stutter into bar 16 at the end of the larger section. And here's a pro arrangement concept. Negative space engineering. Instead of adding more, remove one top layer for half a bar right before a key snare, or cut bass for an eighth to a quarter note before the phrase resets. Those tiny silences read as confidence and make the drop hit harder. Step 8. Sanity check without derailing into mixing. This is the danger zone. This is where people start mastering mid-edit and lose the day. Create a reference track channel. Drop in a reference tune that matches your vibe. A dark roller, jungle, whatever you're aiming at. Turn warp off so it doesn't get messed with. This audio version is shortened for playback.